How many really care about ministry and want to see people grow in the Lord? Any successful church is a successful church, not because the pastor is so good, not because the music is so good, the worship is so good, not because the building looks so good. You can have a beautiful building, but you've got to have saints within that body that are mature, that can make a difference in the lives of others. And I'm thinking about babies. Everybody say the word, babies. Baby. We're learning how to take care of babies. Now, before you learn how to take care, you got to discern what is a baby. Get with it. I'm going to say exactly what the Holy Ghost tells me to say. He said, don't forget to tell them about retards. Write that word down, retarded. Babies and retards. Now, I don't have a problem with the mentally challenged. I went to school out of district, and I had to ride a half bus to school. So I don't have a problem with that. God is a deliverer. He'll set you free. But there are babies in Christ that just come in this thing that don't know anything. But then you get people that come into this thing and just won't grow. The individual that sits up under the word longer, if you've been up under the word for a year or two, you haven't grown, you haven't come out of that immature stuff, people still saying, well, it's just a baby. Guess what? You are no longer a baby. You are retarded. Somebody say, well, I didn't like what he said, but I told you the Holy Ghost told me to say it. You got to do it. So the first thing we need to realize is, first of all, you got to discern what you are. And we can't make excuses. So somebody said, well, what is a hard message? Somebody think, what is the hardest message that Jesus ever preached? What's the hardest message that Jesus ever preached? Deny yourself. Forgive. Forgiveness. Deny yourself. I mean, he preached some rough stuff when he beat the people out of the temple for selling things. He was teaching us something, wasn't he? Well, listen. Everything, that message that came out of Jesus' mouth, the heavy ones, the deep ones that say, oh, that's too heavy for them. The Holy Ghost told me every message that Jesus ever taught was a message to babies. There wasn't a Christian over 3 years old when Jesus was ministering. He had public ministry for approximately 3 years. And some of those years he was dealing with the court system and with his disciples. And he went about. But when he taught publicly, he taught to babies, because some of them had never heard the word before. Guess what I found out? Anything Jesus said, no matter how tough it may be, babies can chew it. If Jesus said it, you can take it and use it and chew it. So many times we decide in our own understanding which somebody can handle and which somebody can't handle. If it's in the word, they can handle it. And if they can't have the word, what are they going to have? Me, you, your understanding of it? It's the word that sets us free. There is no Similac in the body of Christ. Now, one person said, let us not lay again the easy stuff, the foundations, baptisms and doctrines and all this other stuff. It's easy stuff. We have got to come to the conclusion of this, where we understand this one thing. We are living in America. We are living in a reprobate nation. What does that mean? What a reprobate mean is we have a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. What's a form of godliness that denies the power of it? It means you can preach the word and a miracle won't happen? No. You can preach the word and it doesn't make a difference. Power has the ability to change things. Well, we are a nation. We like talk, but we don't like any walk. We like to talk it. We don't like to walk it. We don't like to do it. Anything that can keep us busy keeps us happy. But these are the last and evil days. And God is a man, and he's real. And he's ready to move by his power, by his grace, by his anointing, and by his ability. And he's then said some things, and you can handle it, and so can I. You have to take notes. Why? Take it to the word. Don't take it to the telephone. Take it to the word. When you hear things that I get stuff and I get it, I write that stuff down, what I hear, and then I take it to prayer, and I take it to scripture. Now, there are several things we can do. Thank God we got a Holy Ghost church. And you know what a Holy Ghost church means? That obviously, you're mature. First things first. We ain't picking on nobody. We're talking about what the Holy Ghost is saying. There were some things that the Spirit of the Lord said that shook my theology, because I used to think some things. Oh, yes. I used to think some things. Not, just religious things and things in our thinking, you know? And God says, you need to break out of that. I'm trying to tell you some stuff. You know what the Lord told me? We used to say, well, if you can't do it, somebody else will. Anybody ever heard that? You don't have to do it. Somebody else will do it. God has somebody else to take your place just like that. You know what? That is not true. Do you know that? That is not true. There'll be a substitution. But what God intended to happen through you at that place and at the specific time, guess what? It will never happen. Something else will happen, but what God wanted to do, it won't happen. I said, what? The Holy Ghost started talking to me about my city. He said, you know, every church and every ministry and every minister has a call on their life. We got to learn to honor what God is doing. This is not a man-made thing. It's not put together some figures, put together some words, put together some instructions, some rule books, and then we get the same product. God's involved. It's not like get a pastor, get a worship leader, get a church. Doesn't work like that. I mean, when God is involved with anything, the supernatural is involved. And God said, don't you forget about the supernatural. And don't forget about the ability. And he's given us a message. And he said, the message that you must teach, you want to know how basic we got to get in this day? He said, they don't believe that I exist. He said, Nations Church is there for one reason. We got to equip the people for the work of the ministry. You can't do anything unless people are equipped for the work of ministry. Okay? Period. But as far as us affecting the community, one message must be sure. Now, we thought the message was just the Holy Ghost. Well, that's a big message, and that's something that we do have. Power and authority and worship, all of those things. But all of those things are wrapped up in one mission. God says, people are trying to tell me that I don't exist. Fix it. Why do we have the Holy Ghost? Because he's God in the earth today. Why are people trying to stomp out the move of the Holy Ghost in churches? The work of the world. It's not emotionalism. It's like God saying, hey, I'm still here. I'm still involved in this. No, we want a human spirit of the Antichrist. What was the spirit of the Antichrist? Notice that the number of man is what? Six. What do you mean? Six? The number of man is six. Well, the number of the Antichrist or the beast is what? 666, right? Well, the number of God is what? Seven? I mean, perfection or three? The Trinity. Well, what does 666 represent? I believe 666 represents when man can function totally without God. Physically, emotionally, and also spiritually. We don't need God in our emotions anymore because we got psychologists. So we don't need God to get involved with that. We got counselors and psychologists. We don't need God there. We don't need God to work on our body anymore and physically because we got doctors. Well, in the last day, then it's getting to the point to where, hey, we don't even need God in our churches anymore. We can do it a seeker-friendly way because we know what people really want. We can do a better job without them. Give them a bag of popcorn, half-hour message, three songs that are upbeat in a pretty room and lots of child care, and you got it. The Holy Ghost doesn't have to show up. God, you know, you don't need God anywhere. When the church is there to do one thing, some of y'all that are strong in the Lord, what you must do is you got to hold on to this. You go back and you study, you plant it, and you work it over it, and you water the seed. It will die here if you don't pick it up and walk with it. God will give you more revelation than what he gave me on that situation. Say, we're here to let the world know that God is real. That's why supernatural things happen. I'll tell you straight up what I believe and where I'm coming from. I believe God called me to do supernatural works. Why? Show off? Absolutely not. But you can show off. I mean, you don't need to get up here and put on a religious show to show off. You can show off any way you want to. I can flip up my hair real wild. You can show out if you want to get real. But we're here to do our part. And our part is they've got to know God exists. And they're not going to know that God exists through reasoning. We cannot reason with people. Reasoning, I mean, he is more than reasoning. There is only one way that people will know. You can come to church this morning and I can talk all that I want to, but until he comes through the door and touches you or does something, you'll still be wondering in the back of your mind. And somebody said, well, where does faith come in? Where does faith? You know, I was talking to him and said, well, what about faith? I thought this thing was all about, well, you just got to believe, and that's what it's all about. You never really know. It's always a walk of faith. You never really know. It's just the faith thing. We won't really know until he comes to the sky, if he comes to the sky. Anybody ever thought about these things? Come on now. Amen. Well, is he really there? We're here so that people will know. There are some, see, our faith should not be based in, you know, what we don't understand. Our faith should be in what we know. We know that God is there, therefore we trust what we know. We trust the God whom we know. And that's where faith is demonstrated in how we live and how we walk. I know that there is a God. I've seen God move. I've experienced his power. I've experienced his grace. And you ain't seen nothing yet. Therefore, my faith makes me live life a little bit different than everybody else. Amen. My actions are faith because of what I know about him. God wants the world. They have got to know. No, you got to catch this with me, church. I mean, this is like a miracle. They have got to know. I mean, they have got to know. And they won't know until he tells them who he is, until he demonstrates himself. What does that mean? We've got to have a move of God. We've got to have an anointing. We've got to have a grace. We've got to pull this thing together. There's got to be signs and wonders in the woodland. It shouldn't be the thing that we push behind the curtain. That's our special Friday night meeting. Secret Christian. You know, you can relate to this. We'll be anywhere else, but, forget Sunday morning or any other service. We'll pull them out on Friday night, you know. Don't want to get anybody nervous. They've got to know that he is real and that he exists. And there's only one way that they know that he's real or that he exists. That's by signs, wonders, and miracles. God has got to be God in any one of his ways. He said, that's what I called you to do. And he said, you know what? Nobody can do it like you. Look at somebody in their face and tell them that. Do you believe that? Nobody can do it like you. Anybody doing anything for God? Anybody been rejected? You've been doing something for God? You know, and it says, doesn't make a difference. I'm not really special. The Holy Ghost told me to tell you what you do. Nobody can do it like you. Ever. When God put his hand on your life and he gave you a call and he gave you an anointing and he told you, I want you to do this, guess what? He didn't give it to anybody else.
Amen.
Imagine this. If your fingerprint, nobody can match your fingerprints where you place your hands. Remember that in your hands, what you do? Nobody can match your anointing or your call. You are an original. And God has already honored you. What do you mean he's already honored you? What do you mean he's already honored you? He said, I've given you something only you can do. It's between me and you. Guess what? It's special. It is special. Look at somebody and say, you're special. And you have significance. Yes, you are. You are special. Nobody can do. Absolutely nobody. Nope. There are some things that this world will never get that God has given unless they get it through you. They might get something else, but there's something that he's placed in your life that only you can perform. Amen. There are certain anointings that only I can flow in. I like that. I like that. I like that. There's a grace on. God has got a call. God said, I want you to tell everybody in that room. He said, there is nobody on the face of the planet living that doesn't have something to contribute and do. He said, nobody's waiting to die. You're not waiting to die. God's got you there because there's a piece of himself within you that he wants you to bring out. You do your part, he'll do his part. Is this helping anybody? This helping anybody? So we know what? First of all, God wants the world to know that he is real and that he exists. And that can only happen by the Holy Ghost. Period, point blank. No questions about it. If there's no Holy Ghost demonstration, they'll never know that he exists. You could put a mosque beside a Christian place, and if the Christian place does not demonstrate the power of God, there is no difference. What about Elijah and the prophets of Baal? How do they know? The God who answered the what? The call. Heaven told me, say, if you call me, I'll show up. He's just waiting for somebody to call instead of pushing him off. Are you calling Jesus or are you blowing him off? What do you mean calling Jesus? Are you doing things to provoke the anointing? I'm not talking in a negative sense. I'm talking about, come on. You know what Jesus likes. You know what God likes. You're going to do those things that he likes. You know how to quit. I mean, we're professional. We know how to make a service or break a service. Amen? Come on. You know what God likes. You know how to please your Father. You know how to please your God. You know how to have a good service. And you know how to have a bad one. Are you calling your God or pushing him off? How many places this morning they get up there and say, I just want people to show up. I'm calling people. I'm calling people. If I dress right, if I look right, if I smell right, all those things are important. I can call people. But people can't do anything but die. But we need to get to the point to where we get into the house of God. We get there and say, listen, I'm coming here to call God. And when I call on his name, call on the name of Jesus, he'll show up. But churches aren't calling on his name because they don't believe that he's there to hear or answer. The Bible says, if my people will humble themselves, fall on their face and pray, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. We need to get to the point where we don't worry about what I'm going to call Jesus about this situation. I'm going to call on heaven, and if I call on heaven, I expect something to break through. I'm going to forget about how I'm going to work through this thing. Sometimes you got to do what you can do, but sometimes you get to the point where you've done everything that you can do. And say, I believe in a supernatural God that can do supernatural things even in America. You know what the Father told me? He said, America needs more missionaries than any nation out there. We need some Holy Ghost missionaries right here. The same power that can pull a devil out of the bush in Africa need to pull some of them devils out in the woodlands. I'm serious. It's the truth. We need a Holy Ghost move of God and a Holy Ghost grace. And we need a move. And God must be demonstrated. And if you can find a place in the Bible where he was supposed to be there and didn't demonstrate himself, all throughout the book of Acts, he demonstrated himself. How did we know that God was with the nation of Israel? They kept telling testimonies of him demonstrating himself. We are not here by ourselves. We have a supernatural God that is real. He alone does wondrous things. He alone does wondrous things. So there are two things that we need to know. First of all, there's a call on your life. There's an anointing on your life. There's something that you can contribute that nobody else can contribute. God didn't give it to anybody else. That's why when we see people fall by the wayside, people give up, just get there and get so discouraged. Something comes up beside them. You got to get to them and say, hey, listen, please don't do that. God put something in you that nobody else can do. Receive that. Second, the world does not believe that God exists. We can fix that. There's only one way to fix that, but by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is proof. Evidence that God exists. Evidence. There are two ways that we can allow that evidence. The world will see the evidence of the manifestation and demonstration of the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost has got to see some evidence before he moves. Fruit of the Spirit. So we hear the messages on love and different things, and we've got to apply those to our lives to give the Holy Ghost a platform to perform on. He does those things. They're in you. Fuel the fire with the fruit of the Spirit. Love each other. Be patient. Believe the best. Do the right thing. And realize there's a supernatural force involved in your life and in this ministry. Did y'all enjoy that this morning? I mean, we need to grab a hold of people. I mean, it's just about packing time. We got time to get caught up in small stuff. We got to get it on with what God wants to get on with and be real. And I'm believing God from the bottom of my heart to the very core of my spirit. We can make it. You just got to choose to make it and do the right thing and live for God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. Well, bless the Lord. Why don't you stand right where you are? You wonderful people. You wonder, one power, power, wonder-working power. You wonderful people. Look at the person beside you and say, you're wonderful. God is in you. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. How many would like to cut a contract with God this morning? Say, I open up my heart to you, Father. Open my soul. I open my mind to you. Demonstrate yourself. Demonstrate yourself in me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. There's power in our midst. There's grace in our midst. There's an anointing in our midst. They say, Lord, I submit myself. And I surrender myself to your lordship, to your grace, and to your ability. Father, I commit to you right now
to call on you.
And when I call on you,
you will
answer. God, it is right to have signs and wonders and demonstration on a regular basis. God, please, in the name of Jesus, show up in our community. Show up in our church. Show up in this family, God. Show up in my life, Father God. Show up on my job, Father God. Show up in every situation, God. Show up. Call you, Father. I call on the name of God. Show up in the health club, God. Show up, Father God. Show up. Show up, God. Let the world know you're there. Let the world know you're there. Don't let them just see the church. Don't let them just see nations, Lord. Don't let them just see us. But let them see you, Father God. Show up. In Jesus' name. With signs and wonders. Do something in the heavens. Do something in the earth, Father God. Lord, we call forth that prophetic anointing that you said you bring forth in the last day, the spirit of Elijah, in Jesus' name. He did great signs and wonders, Father God, in the name of Jesus. The real thing, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we stir up that gift right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Father. Don't let the church be in the same league, Father God, with the Buddhists and the Muslims, Father God, and dead faith, Father God. Father God, it shouldn't even be a question about it, Father God. Lord God, you stand out and you make a difference, Father God. Exalt yourself, Father God. In the name of Jesus, you do what only you can do. You alone, God. You alone, God. Only you, God, do wondrous works. Not the witch, Father God. Not the sorcerer, Father God. Not the psychic, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Father God. But you alone can do those things, God. You take the stage in the supernatural realm. It's only you. There is only one God, and Jesus is his name. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing less. God, we want to see that in our community. We want to see that in our lives. Lord, we don't care what we've seen for the last 20 years. It's not, Lord, we want to see that. We want to see that, oh God. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. In the name of Jesus, Father God. They're going to have knowledge, oh God. Knowledge, oh God, of your glory in this last day, Father God. Right away. Right away, God. Right away, Father God. Right away. Tomorrow is your day, oh Lord. This is your day, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Take center stage in the name of Jesus. We trust you. Thank you, Jesus.